Good morning. Earlier this week, my wife was asking me what I was going to be presenting the lesson on, and I told her I hadn't decided yet, and she was like, "Well, you do know Sunday's Mother's Day, right?" I was like, "Well, that solves that problem. Guess I'll be giving a lesson on Mother's Day." Yeah, for those who may be visiting, you did hear right. That is a brother priest that is presenting the lesson. Had the Pope earlier. Now we got the priest. So, but our full time preacher, left for a job in Tennessee there to be closer to family, and so we have members of the church here filling in. And I'm sure there'll be some of you, after you hear my lesson, they'll probably be thinking, "Well, I could do a better job than him." So, since I'm one of the ones that helped make out the schedule, be sure and let me know that you'd like to be put on there to present lessons, and I'll be sure and add your name to the list. Well, obviously, I'd like to wish all the mothers a happy Mother's Day today. And the title of my lesson for today is Jesus Had a Mother Too. You know, in the song, Mary Did You Know, it's, written about a mom. You know, she's holding her baby son in her arms, dreaming about the future, soaking in that, brief moment in time and, realizing how incredibly awesome, her role of being a good mom is going to be in the life of her child. That's true, of course, the Mary in the song is referring to, Mary, the mother of Jesus, of course. And so, obviously, a little bit of a unique situation, being, a virgin and giving birth to a child, makes it, a little bit more than unusual. But this, tells us something about how important, God sees the family. The fact that God chose, for His eternal Son to be born into an earthly family, with a mother and a father. Just think about it, this is God. He could have just, zapped Jesus into existence, put Him in, the temple or something, had Him raised by the, religious leaders of the day. But no, instead He, in fact, Jesus, like I said, was given to an earthly mother and father. And Jesus, had a mother too. And this tells us how important the role of mother is, in the development and life of every child. Now, when it comes to the celebration of Mother's Day, if you think about it, it really involves two parties. Well, first of all, it involves the mom, of course. Moms, this is a, day for you and your role as a mother to be honored and celebrated. Because, being mom, being a mom, that's no minor thing. On the contrary, it's a major thing to be a mom. If you don't believe me, just ask any mom. She'll, be happy to tell you. And, moms everywhere, they need to be, affirmed in this important role. They need to recognize their, awesome responsibility and, rising up to the challenge of being a mom. But, the celebration of Mother's Day also involves another party, and that's the kids. And, for all the kids, of course, this is a day for us to honor, and celebrate our moms, and also, honor, the role of motherhood. So this morning, I'd like to take a few minutes to, address each of these groups, and I'd like to start off with the kids. Now, God teaches us in one of His Ten Commandments that we are to honor our father and our mother. Well, what does it mean to honor? Well, it means to, show respect, to show esteem. Of course, I think there's a difference in how we honor our moms, when we are young, as opposed to when we are older. And when I say young children, I'm referring to, children, young and growing up in the home, generally speaking, probably, high school age and below. And the Bible teaches that one of the best ways for, this, age group to honor their mom is to embrace the attitude of obedience. Yeah, just what your kids wanted to hear, right? Of course, the moms are thinking amen, right? Yes. So, but this isn't my idea. It's in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1 through 3. And oh, good. Julia's keeping up with me. She realized I wasn't using the clicker there, so appreciate that. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, we read, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth." You know, there was a story about two boys. You know, they're walking to school and they're talking about their families. And one boy says, you know, I figured out a system for getting along with my mom. It's you know, really very simple. She tells me what to do and I do it. Yeah, what a concept, right? But of course, you know, children, they do grow up, and that, and of course, well, our society, you know, tells us that, you know, when you turn 18, you know, you become a legal adult, as they say. But of course, the command still holds true that, you know, we are to honor our parents, even as adults. But of course, to honor our parents as adults kind of moves away from, you know, the obey part, and instead kind of moves towards, you know, showing respect and esteem. And really, as good parents, you know, we wouldn't necessarily want our older children, you know, just, you know, blindly, you know, obeying us, because they have to learn to, you know, make good decisions on their own, obviously. And of course, we're not going to be around forever, ever either. So for the older kids out there, I would say one of the best ways to honor your mom is to, you know, honor God with your life. You know, as adults, you know, we're free to make our own decisions. You know, and when we make those good decisions, you know, ones that are based on those, you know, biblical teachings that we are taught, you know, by our parents, then we are, in fact, you know, showing them honor as well. Now, in the second chapter of John, there's a brief exchange between Mary and Jesus, and I think this helps to kind of illustrate this. You know, to kind of set the stage, in the first chapter of John, he starts off with a short intro. Matter of fact, the first verse is very well known. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And goes on with a few more verses, but then verse 6, he just jumps right into the story of John the Baptist. Then about halfway through the first chapter, he kind of transitions from John to Jesus. And basically, the last 21 verses of that first chapter covers 2 days. And during those 2 days, Jesus is you know, picking up some disciples. So basically, Jesus is, you know, just starting his ministry. And based on, you know, Jewish culture, we can assume that Jesus was probably 30 years old at this time. So the second chapter of John starts off with the third day. I'd like to go ahead and read John chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now back in Jesus' day, you know, celebrations would often, you know, last for, you know, several days. You know, so the plot, you know, so the, you know, wine running out, you know, during these festivities, you know, it was a big problem. You know, you couldn't just, you know, run down to the local grocery store and, you know, pick up some more wine. You know, basically it meant, you know, that the party was kind of over, and if you're just, you know, 1 or 2 days into a 3 or 4 day, you know, celebration, obviously that can be very embarrassing to the bride and groom. So, you know, Jesus' mother Mary spoke to him about this problem, you know, telling him, hey, you know, they have no more wine. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us, you know, who was getting married, but given the fact that, you know, Mary knew about the wine and was concerned about it, would seem to indicate that, you know, it was, you know, perhaps a close relative. And perhaps Mary was even, you know, one of those that was, you know, helping out with those festivities. Of course, you know, we have to realize that at the same time, you know, Mary, she's lived her entire life with the knowledge that her son, Jesus, you know, is the Messiah. That he's the, you know, the one sent from God to save the world. And, you know, he's now 30 years old. He's beginning his ministry. You know, so I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, maybe Mary's thinking to herself, hey, you know, wouldn't this be a great time, you know, to show everybody, you know, who you are, you know, who, you know, Jesus, you know, to show, you know, everyone, hey, you know, I'm the Messiah. You know, because, and oh, by the way, as an added benefit, you know, she could, you know, would keep from embarrassing the bride and groom. You know, because that's what moms do, right? You know, they want to see their kids reach their full potential. You know, Mary's just, you know, she's kind of doing the mom thing. Of course, Jesus, he replies with, well, you know, why do you involve me? My hour has not yet come. Now, kind of based on this reply, you know, we may surmise that, well, you know, maybe Mary was, you know, like the rest of the Jews at that time. And they were thinking, you know, the Messiah was coming to, you know, establish a physical kingdom, you know, kind of like King David, versus a spiritual kingdom. Of course, this is just speculation, but what we do know is that Jesus did go ahead and turn the water into wine. I think it's important to note that at this point in Jesus' life, you know, he wasn't under an obligation, you know, to obey Mary, you know, as he would have when he was a child. Matter of fact, I think, you know, his main focus at this particular time was, of course, obeying, you know, the plan that his Heavenly Father had for him. So why did Jesus go ahead and turn the water into wine? Well, I think he did it in order to honor his mother. You know, at the same time, I think he stayed true to his earlier comment about this not being his hour yet to come, because, you know, this miracle that he performed was, you know, pretty much done totally behind the scenes. You know, it was just Mary and, you know, a few servants that knew about it. So what's one of the lessons that we can learn from this? Well, I think one of the best ways that we can honor our mothers is to follow God's plan for our lives. You know, even if our moms, you know, may not completely understand what that plan may be, you know, there's a preacher that tells a story that when he was 21 years old, you know, he was going to a school near Chicago, and he got involved in the inner city ministry. And during that time, of course, street gangs were on the rise, and he was working with a lot of these underprivileged kids, you know, some of these same teens who ran with some of these gangs. And they would go to, you know, Bible studies, and there was at times when he literally had to take, you know, guns and knives away from these teens. Well, he told his mom about this one day. And, of course, his mom, you know, she was a pretty spiritual person, but, you know, she wasn't, you know, overly enthusiastic about this particular ministry that he was involved in. Matter of fact, she would often give him, you know, mom suggestions. You know, for example, she said, well, you know, I was looking at the map today, and, well, you know, your school, you know, it's really close to some farmland in Indiana, and, you know, those farmers, they could really use some ministering too, you know. Well, you know, the preacher, of course, he was convinced that, you know, God had him doing what he needed to be doing. So he just had to, you know, say to his mom, hey, mom, you know, I'll be careful. God will protect me. And now this, of course, isn't always an easy thing to do, but, you know, he felt that the best way to honor his mom, you know, was for all that she'd done in his life, you know, was to say, hey, mom, you know, I'm doing what God wants me to do. Now, to all the moms out there, you know, I realize that what I'm about to say will run counter to what our culture tells us, but that shouldn't surprise anyone because, you know, what I'm about to say is what I believe that the Bible teaches, and that is, you know, if you're a woman that's been, you know, blessed to have children, that, you know, the highest and, you know, best vocation is being a mom. Now, whether you choose to have a, you know, career outside of the home or whether you choose to stay at home, you know, it doesn't really matter because the end result is still the same, and that is that you can make, you know, a great contribution to the kingdom of God, you know, by embracing that mantle of motherhood, you know, and finding strength in God, you know, to be the very best mom that you can be to your kids. Now, with this in mind, I'd like to make three statements that I hope will encourage you today. And the first one is, be a mom of great faith. Now, it used to be that in the family, and, you know, I saw this, you know, quite a bit when I was growing up, that if, you know, the dad, you know, drifted away or wasn't available for some reason, you know, you could always still count on the mom to, you know, be there to, you know, take the kids to church and whatnot. But unfortunately, you know, that's not the case anymore. You know, more and more moms are struggling to find that faith to believe in a God that can move mountains if necessary, you know, to keep the family on the straight and narrow. But, you know, good news is that, you know, for the moms, you know, we can change this, you know, with the help of God. And when I was researching some items for this lesson, I ran across this quote from, of all people, Leo Tolstoy. Now, I'm not a literary expert by any stretch of the imagination, but I did know that Leo Tolstoy wrote War and Peace. And that was, you know, what I always known him for. And that was, you know, a famous novel back in the 1800s. And probably known for being really long, if nothing else. But anyway, so when I ran across this quote, I thought, well, that's interesting that Leo Tolstoy would be making this quote. So I did a quick, you know, Google search. And according to Wikipedia, anyway, I guess Leo Tolstoy had what they called a spiritual awakening later on in his life. And in one of his later books, he wrote this following quote, which I found very interesting. He said, "Women who fulfill their vocation hold power even over more powerful men. Such women mold public opinion and prepare future generations. And so it is that they who would hold the power to save people from all our present and impending evils, yes, women, mothers, in your hands more than in those of anyone else lies the salvation of the world." So, Daniel, obviously, you know, it may seem obvious, but, you know, to be a mom of great faith, you know, believe in that holy and powerful God who can do anything for you and your family. Now, the second statement I'd like to make is, realize that you're not going to be perfect. You know, no one's perfect. You know, Mary wasn't perfect. You know, she made mistakes, and so will you. You know, if you search the Bible, you know, if you're searching the Bible for that perfect, you know, model of that perfect family, you know, I don't think you're going to find one. You know, of course, we can, as individuals, you know, of course, we can look at Jesus as the perfect example, but the Bible doesn't really roll out, you know, a certain family saying, "Hey, this is the perfect family." And I find that interesting, you know, because it teaches so much about the family, and obviously, there's some good examples, and of course, there's some bad examples. In which, you know, we can learn from both of them, of course. But, you know, the simple fact is, you know, every, you know, human family is marked by sin. You know, we may want to think that, you know, we could be that, you know, picture-perfect family that we see in, you know, one of the Norman Rockwell paintings, but unfortunately they don't exist. So, you know, obviously, you know, since we're not perfect, that's why it's so important that God gives us His grace. And, of course, when we're covered in God's grace, you know, then we can be that good example, you know, to the kids and, you know, about the importance of grace, you know, when we're not perfect, when they're not perfect. You know, when you have those imperfect moments, you know, really show the importance of grace. And that when we fall down, you know, God is going to be there to help pick us back up. This kind of leads into my third statement, which is, you know, see obstacles as opportunity for God to work in our lives. You know, anybody out there, you know, run into any obstacles lately? Yeah. One or two, maybe? Yeah. Well, when I was doing some research for this lesson, I ran across an article that was titled, How to Raise a G-Rated Family in an R-Rated World. And, you know, that's a real problem nowadays, isn't it? You know, it's, you know, I don't have to tell you, you know, how much junk, you know, our kids are being, you know, bombarded with nowadays. And, you know, it's not just the, you know, sin is fun kind of stuff, but, you know, it's now, you know, there's a lot of just blatant anti-Christian, anti-biblical anti-biblical teaching rhetoric out there that we have to combat as well. And so, as you know, mothers and parents, you know, we not only have to fend off this barrage ourselves, but you know, we have to teach our children to do the same thing. And I know that this is not a simple thing to do, but I think it's vital that as part of that, that we see obstacles as opportunities, you know, for God to work in our lives. You know, otherwise, you know, we're going to be fighting a losing battle. You know, being out there working on the base, you know, I see the results of those losing battles all the time in suicides. You know, the suicide rates in the military just continue to climb year after year after year. Matter of fact, you know, little old Whiteman Air Force Base, you know, just 10 miles down the road, they actually led the command in suicides last year. That's not a category that, you know, you want to be leading in, obviously. And, of course, you know, the rates outside of the military are just as bad, if not worse. Now, of course, you know, the Bible gives us, you know, all sorts of examples of faithful men and women that overcame many obstacles. But yet they remained faithful and was rewarded in the end. You know, just looking at the life of Paul, for example, you know, he was beaten, he was stoned, he was whipped, you know, thrown in jail, shipwrecked. You know, I'd venture to say that, you know, probably those are some obstacles that we've never had to face. You know, we have to, most of our obstacles are what one of my co-workers like to say is, you know, first world problems. But I don't mean to demean that by any means, because any obstacle that keeps us from God is a serious obstacle. But despite that, Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7 said the following. He said, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Of course, as parents, I think it's vital for us to use our own, you know, faith walk experiences to share with our children. And of course, for some of the kids, you know, that are older, you know, we can remind them of, you know, some of the things that they've overcome in their lives that, you know, that allowed God to work in their lives. You know, as a matter of fact, you know, I'd say feel free to, you know, relay those growth in God experiences stories, you know, again and again. You know, no matter how often your kids roll their eyes or maybe whine about the fact that they've heard this story before, well, I can tell you, you know, from personal experience that, you know, even though my parents have been gone for a while, you know, I still remember those stories about them, you know, overcoming hardships. And I think I'm a better person because of it. Well, in closing today, I'd just like to say to all the mothers out there, whether you're a brand new mom or a great-great-grandmother or somewhere in between, I pray that you will not only be honored, you know, just once a year, but every day of the year. And I thank you for all that you have done and will continue to do to bring glory to God. Well, there's been an invitation song selected, and if there's anyone here who perhaps has any prayer requests or perhaps in the study of God's Word, you have come to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you're willing to confess that belief and be immersed in the water of graves of baptism and arise out of those waters a new creature, a Christian ready to follow God and be rewarded with that salvation. Yeah, or if there's just any other things that you would like to make known at this time, we offer this time for you to come forward as we stand and sing.